Greetings, Grandad here, and here to bring you a few things before we kickstart the show today. Firstly, a listener's message to say that the jokes and impressions in this show are simply for the purpose of entertainment and not meant to cause any offense. It would be great if you could take a moment to rate us on Apple Podcast and drop us a review if you are enjoying the show. Find us on our Facebook page, Better Show, and there you will find more spooky tales, both fiction and non-fiction. And lastly, don your tinfoil hats, crack your heads back as far as they will go, and look to the stars, because tonight is going to be a better show.
Imagine that it is nighttime. You are all alone on an overlook that spans hundreds of miles. There, you can not only see the land, but also gain a full appreciation of the universe above you. The stars, they shine bright tonight, almost too bright. You are alone, and yet, you can never be alone ever again. The stars, they seem to be fading, and your vision with them. And with that, you remember exactly where you are.
So, you know, I just want to start off the show by saying outright,
hi.
Yeah! It's Grandad.
And Dr. Manor.
Well, I just want to throw out there, and I wanted to do this for a while. You know what? You know when you're on... You might be having a bit of a down moment. And you're looking through your Instagram, you're looking through your Facebook, and you're looking through your Twitter, and you come across... You capping across some nice ladies. Or some nice men.
Sure, yeah.
And
whatever you're into,
and you know, maybe they're modeling. Jessica Negri is a good one for us.
Yeah, man. Fair.
Yeah, Jessica Negri. Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm there.
Okay, cool. And I've got a fair amount of other ones. I won't say names, but let's just say the list goes on. So, but you're sitting there, and you're sitting there with your phone, and you're in your boxes, and you're like, man,
this has gone graphic, right? Cool.
I just want to send her a picture of my cock and.
What?
And you don't know whether... You know what? You're sitting there, you're like, I really want to. But I don't know whether that's okay.
I'm going to disassociate myself from this for a second. No point have I ever thought that.
All right. Well, I'm not saying you have. I'm just saying to the audience. To stand the man that lives in with his nan. You know, in a van. You've got to address these people, dude. Yeah, you've got to address... Good doctor, you got to address the people. You got to make sure they're all right. And I'm addressing them, and I'm saying, look, you don't know because they haven't told you that it's okay. So what I'm going to say right now is, if anyone's out there...
Don't do that.
No, if anyone's out there that feels compelled to send... It doesn't have to just be a dick. It can be tits. It can be a nice vage.
God.
It can be a lady girl. I don't know. I don't care. If you feel compelled, I feel responsible to accept that image.
Okay, right, fine.
As a personal service to you, in your moment of trial, in your moment of sadness, I will be there for you to accept that picture. Maybe even send a message back. So, you know, and I don't critique. I only comment. So, if you want to, you can. Reach out!
And touch you?
I mean, maybe. I wouldn't say no.
Oh, let's not get caught out by Depeche Mode, shall we?
So, I mean, man, we covered some sad shit in the last few days. We covered whale and dolphin slaughter, but we covered Satan!
Yeah, yeah.
And now we're back to bring you another happy episode of Better Show. I think I feel like I'm losing my mind ever so slightly.
Happy!
Be happy.
Happy.
We're going to be covering horror video games.
Oh, I'm not happy.
Well,
happy for me.
Happy for you. Happy for me because I get to spend time with you, but I'm usually cowering behind a pillow.
Yeah, I mean, it's very happy for me when I get to watch you play in the game. That's a lot of fun.
So there are a few games. I know that you're more acquainted with the horror genre in terms of gaming. I am fairly new to the scene. I'm fairly new to the scene of gaming, period.
Oh, that's not true.
No, it is. In 2012, I started playing games. That was it. 2012! Properly. Like, that was when I got my first console.
Yeah.
Like, proper console. And that's not... That's 8 years ago.
Yeah.
That's not that long ago. I think that's right. I'm not even counting the Wii, but...
I might have 5 years on you.
So... I mean, I played...
That's not true. Oh, shit, I've got 10 years on you. Yeah, okay. All right.
Double that. So, so my gaming history leading up until the proper games, like, so for 360 and other consoles like that, which was the console around at the time, I mainly played things like Miniclip games. I don't know if you remember that. Miniclip.com.
Yeah. Funnygames.biz.
How many fucking viruses did I got more viruses than I got from porn? Fucking Miniclip.
Funnygames.biz.
Alright, well, I'll go back and tell my 6-year-old self to go and do that.
Funnygames.biz got shut down. It no longer exists.
Well, then I won't do that.
Do it now.
It will send you straight to porn.
It got shut down a few years ago. Sorry, guys.
You know what also got shut down quite recently? Club Penguin.
What?
Yeah, the servers went down. They had like a mass gathering. It did look like the occult. It did look like a cult. They all logged on at the same time to sit there and dance. It was a dancing cult. Oh, that reminds me. I was meant to dance with my friend today. I never did. Damn it! So, yeah. So, I started around about 2012 into proper gaming. But horror games is still something that I'm fairly new to. So, the first proper horror game I played was years and years ago, and I played the first edition of Nazi Zombies. And I mentioned this in our zombie podcast as well. That, man, there was something about watching that.
Call of Duty World at War.
Even on a small screen, you're sitting around a load of sweaty nerds, and you're that close to the fucking screen, and you're like, the walls are down, quick, go get the wall on, the zombies are through the door, oh, I got money, so I'm going to buy a gun. Ooh, it's a nice, pretty gun. And
go hide in Noob Corner.
Go hide in the corner. It's still my favourite map of Nazi Zombies, is the original first map. I know they brought out some cool ones, like in space and shit, but I that's still my favourite.
I think my favourite one of any of those Call of Duties was... bloody, what is it? I forgot my German. That's a bit embarrassing, isn't it?
Das Kino? Seeing as you're British, yeah. Yeah, it's very, very...
Das Kino, but basically it was... or was it Der Kino? I can't remember what gender...
Dude, last week I said Mein Kampf, so you're fine.
Cool. Basically, I can't remember what... gender a cinema is in German, but hey, you know.
What gender? Yeah. Do they have genders of cinema?
Yeah, everywhere's got a gender.
Why?
So whether it's male, female, or
but
non-
it's a cinema.
Neutral.
It's a fucking cinema.
Yeah, don't ask.
But I do, I think I remember, doesn't it have like a staircase with like a red carpet?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, I do remember, I did like that one as well.
Yeah.
That one was cool. But I think it was just kind of like the nostalgia towards the original, and I was playing it with some good friends at the time, and I think that was also what
it's
kind
a very,
of
very, like, you can very much run in circles around that, and that was... Mm. Kind of the whole thing about
is it kind of the reverse?
If you wanted to survive,
yeah, just, run,
just run a train of zombies and take them out.
Is that kind of the polar opposite of what we did in 7 Days to Die, where we built a house that zombies couldn't fucking navigate?
Yes,
that was fucking amazing. I still don't know how we did that. One day I'll try and replicate that and see if it works again. But
that was very funny.
It was 7 Days to Die. It's a good segue. So 7 Days to Die is a sandbox game that's very much runs off the same premise of Minecraft in a sense, but it's way, way more in depth.
Out to eat you.
Yeah, absolutely. You start off in the world with, and I think I talked about this again in my zombie episode, where you start off with nothing but a map and...
I mean, that game is very dependent upon where you start.
Yeah, 100%.
If you start in the snow biome...
Snow biome, you're fucked. If you start in the desert biome, you're fucked. If you start off in the city, you're fucked. If you start off in the hellscape, you're fucked. If you start off in the polluting area, you're fucked. Basically, the only place you're safe is really in the desert to start off with, so you can get somewhere else, or in the tree land, and that's it.
I mean, I think probably in the town you'd be okay, because you might find stuff.
Yeah, but you don't want to be there during the night.
Oh, no, but you'd have to, like, during the day, like, go find some guns, get
Like that first day is going to be 100%. If you want to play it, if it's your first time and you spawn in the woods, great. You're on to a winner. Go punch a tree several thousand times with your fist. Take down a tree and break your knuckles. But yeah, it's way more in depth because you start only off with some water, some beans, some bandages, some med kit dish things. And I think that's it.
And then a blood moon happens.
Then a blood moon happens because the reason why it's called 7 Days to Die is on the seventh night of every single seven day cycle, a horde will track you down and eat your face if it can. It's a really good game. If you listen to that game with fucking headphones on the night, those weird bullshit noises that you hear during the night that aren't anything, that's so fucking...
They get you.
I think the worst time was when I was playing it, and I was playing it alone, and I was in a great little biome. I'd been killed by several bears, because bears just look like trees from far away, and then they'll be like, oh, it's a bear!
I mean, do they?
They do. They look like fallen trees.
Okay.
So, a bear... Bears would kill me, but then I'd respawn. I'm like, okay, I'm going to avoid the bears. I know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to dig. It's nearly nighttime. I'm going to dig, and I'm going to refill in the hole and just live in the hole. I'll live in the hole until morning, because you've still got the little clock at the top of your screen, which I think is cheating ever so slightly. But you can then tell, I think dawn is like 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning, and then you'll get that little sound, and you're safe-ish. I was in that hole, and I think it was just coming up to morning, and then I heard a... And this fucking fist came through the ceiling. And I thought, what? They can dig? And yeah, I think it's great that the zombies can dig. They can tunnel. They can break structure. Because structure does rely on gravity in that game, unlike Minecraft. It's
Or Fallout.
Or Fallout. It is incredibly immersive and definitely one I'd recommend. I think it's like £7 something or other on the PlayStation Store at the moment. So do go and check it out. It's a personal recommendation from myself. I'm still very much uneducated in the realm of the horror genre within video games, but at least one that I've picked up in recent years.
Mm.
So, like I say, you're more acquainted, and I feel like you're practically itching to talk about it. So let's talk about Outlast.
Oh, man. I mean, are we starting with the original? Or
so I'm going to give the viewers... The facts that I know as far as they stand. So at the moment, at least, Outlast is comprised of two games and one DLC that's for the first one?
Yes, you are correct.
You currently have my copy of Outlast, don't you? You have the...
I do.
Yeah, so...
Because you refuse to play it.
Yeah, because I'm not... So, if you could sum up Outlast, not just perhaps plot, but also gameplay and immersive experience, how would you explain it?
Oh, wow. Firstly, I think all three games offer a very different kind of horror experience.
You've got to not be a pussy.
Yeah. Every single one of those games is out to properly make you jump.
From what I've seen from gameplay, because I have only played bits and bobs of the first one, I've seen you play through the DLC that was at, I think it was Doug's ex's house years ago. And then,
That was the first one.
Oh, was that still the first one? Yeah. Oh, okay. So I haven't seen any of the DLC then, but I have seen playthroughs of the second one. And from what I've seen in the second one, the person that chases you, because that is really the kind of... the main fear factor is the fact that you are being chased quite a lot.
Yes.
So, in Outlast 1, from what I saw, there were multiple people chasing you because you were in like this weird kind of like mental hospital.
Yeah, you go to Mount Massive Asylum.
And you basically arrive at it and you're like, why the fuck am I here? I think the first time I started up the game, I'm like, okay, so I'm going to go leave. I'm going to go, oh, no, I can't. The gates are shut and it's a boundary. I can't call. I guess I'm just going to... Yeah, you look at that place and it's not like it's like...
You are an investigative journalist.
You know what it is? It's the opposite of the start-up of A Series of Unfortunate Events, if you've seen that film, the original Tim Curry film. Yes. You know when it starts off with a chirpy little chirpy little munchkin person? Chim-chiminy, chim-chiminy, chum-chum, chiroo. And it's not like that. It's when it goes grey.
You just mix Mary Poppins.
Fuck off. I don't give a shit. I don't care. So... Mary Poppins has got a dark undertone anyway. So,
fair.
So, when it goes grey, that is the moment I was looking at the fucking house. And I was like, God. Okay. And I can see, why? Why would you walk in? You're an investigative journalist. You know what? Your life's more important. Go back to the Spider-Man headquarters of news and tell Oldie McGee to go shove it, because there's no way that you're going to get ass raped by the two brothers, naked brothers,
Oh,
dick
man,
brothers.
There are so many good...
Cox!
No. There are so many good villains you run away from in that.
Yeah. Do you want to name some of your favourites?
So you've got the naked dudes, as you mentioned, and there is a moment where, unless you use some kind of initiative and basically, minor spoilers, dive out of a window, there is nothing that you can otherwise do to avoid them killing you.
Hmm.
And they're sort of just threatening you, really building up the fact that they're coming for you.
Is it one of the first times that you encounter them? They're just standing on the other side of like an iron bar.
Yeah, you're in like the prison.
And
section.
You can see their cocks.
Yep. Yes, you can.
You can see their dick holes and they're not hard, but they're not soft.
They are out and open.
Rigid is what I... Thick is what I would... They I don't are, know why I'm smiling as I'm looking at you. And I don't think I've blinked once. But
why are you salivating?
I don't know. I think I have a confession to make here. So those are two of your favourites then? Are they brothers or are they just like fucked up friends?
I don't think it's ever really explained.
Go to the wiki. We must go to the wiki and find.
But one who I've affectionately called Dave, who is...
Is that the wheelchair guy?
No.
Who's the wheelchair guy?
Oh, the wheelchair dude.
Clive.
Hang on, which wheelchair guy you think?
The jump scare wheelchair guy.
Oh, okay, him. Yeah, no, we didn't name him, but Dave was the police sergeant guy, the big boy.
Oh, is he the one that chases you at the end? So when I found you guys after I went to the dreaded fucking SeaWorld and came to meet you guys, and he's the one that's like chasing you down the corridor.
Yes,
that's him. Oh, okay.
He's big boy.
Oh, okay.
He is chasing you for a lot of that game.
Mm.
And he's a brilliant character because he has a walking speed when he's chasing you that is fractionally slower than your maximum running speed.
Which is bollocks.
Yeah. but he's also a lot slower than you at mantling things. Mm. So whilst you're running, he is so close to you constantly.
Yeah.
You're not really gaining that much distance.
And doesn't
on him.
The music like increase in terms of volume when he's like close to you? Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, also the background music will just randomly spike with tension when there is nothing anywhere near you, and it just makes you race. Just
the game is definitely not for the faint of hearted. Like, a moment that really stands out for me is when you're going through... I don't even know if you're... I think you're crouching, or at least I was crouching when I was playing this. And you go into a room that's really poorly lit, and then you, like, turn on your camera or whatever, which... Well, we haven't even talked about the camera, but the...
Oh, yeah.
But the...
Main part of the game.
Yeah. So we'll go into that in a moment. But the jump scare for me was when you find like this guy that's hanging like from a hook.
That is right at the start.
They killed all of us. Yeah.
So yeah, sorry. Let's do this again.
Yeah, because otherwise it's just a chasing game.
Yeah. So you're an investigative journalist. Mm-hmm. The only tool that you have at your disposal is a camera.
Handy camcorder. They couldn't even give you a proper fucking GoPro or some shit.
You're not allowed any weaponry. You're not allowed anything of that sort. No. If you play the original game just as there is the original game, you can store up to 10 additional batteries alongside what you can put in the camera. If you have the trilogy of games or the DLC alongside the original, the battery has a slightly longer life, but you can only store two additional batteries. Oh, fuck. Your battery storage is much more considered.
So it actually makes it harder.
And in the... Yes, definitely.
Oh, fuck.
And in the darkness, the only way you can see is through the night vision of your camera.
Yeah. So I feel like this game... I don't know what years they came out of, because apparently I did no research whatsoever for this episode. But I feel like there's some slender... inspiration there in terms of gameplay. Because like the fact that you're looking for batteries for your torch...
Yeah, so sort of like, like looking for drawings and stuff, and that actually leads me to another game of Among the Sleep. There are drawings to look for that, which is great. We'll come to that
a bit
later. Slender Man has the whole premise that as long as you're looking at him, you're okay. And the more drawings you get, the more pissed off Slender Man gets.
Apart from the second Slender Man, where you're fighting against Slender Child and...
And Slender Man. Like, what's that all about? Slender Child, you've got to, like, flash a torch at.
Yeah, so that he and then run at
come
you.
Running, come running at you.
Because at least Slender Man just teleports, but Slender Child, it's all sorts of
just running. Just running all over the place. And he's very quick.
Mm.
Whereas Slender Man, as long as you look at him...
Yeah.
and don't turn your back.
Mm-hmm.
You keep on watching him. He'll stay right where he is, not move. A bit like a weeping angel in that kind of
nice Doctor Who reference
aspect. And get far enough away, you know, don't have to worry anymore. Yeah. And then you'll turn around and realize that he's now behind you.
Yeah.
Screw Slenderman.
Yeah.
Fiddling your
anus hole. And he'll...
Oh no.
He's got diddling hands.
Got this 9-foot bloke with massive fingers.
He's got like, because isn't it in the second one where you get like a flashback of you as a kid and your parents disappear and like this giant black cloud takes you with like giant curving cloud
hands. So rather than your parents disappearing, what essentially happens is there's a sort of slow selection of toys that are like further and further away. Mm. And you as a very small child, you see a toy in the distance. You're like, oh,
yeah, let's wander away from the beach and let's go into the woods.
You hear your mum call out, "Don't go too far, darling."
Mm.
And
mommy, disembodied mommy.
As a gamer, you come to this point where you know you can't go back because you've just gone down a ledge that you can't get back up.
Yeah.
And you get to the ledge and you look over it.
And you're like, I don't want to go down.
And as a gamer, you think,
fuck that.
But as the child, you just go, I want that toy.
Mm.
And
Not too well for the kid.
You end up in a wood and
clearly fingers. Didn't listen to fucking Hagrid's warning.
No.
And you weren't following the spiders, you were following the Duplo.
Yeah, and toy cars.
And toy cars.
And trucks and cool stuff. But
Magic the Gathering cards.
And then your parents start calling out afterwards saying, like, asking where you are, and then you end up becoming Slender Kid. So, hey, it's great.
Yeah.
Outlast, another brilliant antagonist, I guess.
They're certainly not heroes, mate.
In that game.
They've removed too many faces for that.
Is the Doctor.
Mm.
Oh boy.
So that's the one in the first one. Isn't he the one that instigates that weird cult towards the end?
No, so you've got the Reverend.
Oh, so he's the Reverend. Because he's the one who retrieves you slightly later. He's like, oh, your injuries, oh. Oh, sorry, no, I remember the Doctor, because he's the one who, like, tethers you to... Fuck him. Tethers you to the bed. And, we got everyone. He's basically Crazy Rick, like, worse Rick from Rick and Morty, but worse.
The Doctor is brilliant. Like,
I imagine if they were to ever do a... Outlast film, which I know would be a mistake because obviously it's an immersive experience that's purely catered towards the gameplay of the individual, but if they were to ever do an Outlast film, Mark Hamill should play the Doctor. 100%!
What do you think?
Yeah, because of his role as the Joker!
Oh, fair. But can you imagine... Like, I'd never get a manicure from that guy.
No. Well, I'm glad that you as a man that I know gets many manicures, I'm glad. I mean, those fingers, man,
I mean, these fingers definitely
haven't been fingering, and
these well bitten nails that have definitely
you've self-manicured. Anyway, it saves you some money, girls. Don't go out there and get manicures. Do it yourself. You got teeth.
Do what you want, folks.
Your kitchen scissors. You don't need to get your hair cut. Look at me. I mean, I'm a pillar of how hair should be. Absolutely.
So just swish your hair over your shoulder.
Yeah.
But Outlast DLC.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on from Outlast. Yes. Love the game Outlast. I won't spoil any more of the game. There is another thing that you run away from, but I'm not going to talk about that.
Are there any tits?
So.
Okay, cool.
In the first Outlast,
yes,
you are in an area that is described as, I think briefly, the showers or something like that.
Nice, nice. Nothing ever bad happened in the showers.
Because you go from like this sort of asylum prison area,
yeah,
and escape into the showers.
Okay.
And then you end up in a sewer.
Right.
A bit grim. But it's your only way out of getting into that, like, back towards the rest of the main building where you want to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So all you ever see is the male part of the showers. Now in the DLC happens in the exact same building, and it's called Whistleblower.
Right.
And you are the whistleblower.
Right.
Rather than the investigator who has come to see what's going on. I won't spoil the plot much more than that, but you find all this out right at the beginning of the DLC, so I've not really given you too much yet. And the way the story is linking is genuinely incredible. But you have to play it for yourself to really find that out.
Mm.
In the Whistleblower DLC, though, mm-hmm. you go to those same showers.
Nice.
But you also see the female showers.
Hey.
Now, at no point in any of the games so far, including the first game, have you seen a female.
Mm. Now, like, at all. Yeah, you're quite right. Because, like, even going through the asylum, all the residents and corpses are male, as far as I can tell, yeah.
Now, in Whistleblower,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't really change, but it sort of does. Right. There is an antagonist called the Groom, who is looking for a bride.
Okay.
And he's going about pretty horrific ways of getting a bride.
Right, okay. I don't know why I'm smiling.
Leave it at that. he's a brilliant character. There's a cannibal with a bone saw.
Nice.
Who comes after you for a bit. You get Dave back again.
Yeah!
He makes an appearance.
Dave.
You even fight some of, like, the asylum staff. Because you're the whistleblower.
Yeah.
They're trying to keep you silent, even though all of this shit's going on.
Yeah.
They're like, shit, you can't get out.
Mm, yeah,
you come across them, you're now having to, like, try and hide from them as well now.
Okay.
Really, really incredible stuff. But definitely play the first Outlast before you play the DLC, otherwise it won't link.
Okay.
It won't make as much sense.
Right.
A lot of the, like, shock and horror of the DLC will be lost on you a bit. Mm.
Okay.
And Outlast 2, completely different.
Yeah, and it's the one that I feel like had the less scary antagonist, because instead of being
it
like...
It was more psychological than it was...
Yeah, so I didn't see much of it, admittedly. So from what I saw at the beginning, you were part of a documentary team in a helicopter or plane that had taken a crash or whatever.
Yeah.
And you ended up in, like, this weird kind of foresty area, which immediately is less scary for me because it's more open. When you're in a house or a building, it's more claustrophobic because you're restricted by the walls. But with this, it just felt more open and therefore less scary. With that said, you still had an antagonist coming after you with a scythe.
Oh, man, she's good.
But from what I saw, I don't know whether it was the person who was playing the game managed to break it, but there was a big open space, I think it was quite towards the early points of the game, where you could just kind of circle around and then get quite a good view of her and it just didn't seem as scary because you
could get... Yeah, part of her whole scary theme is that she's quite... a well-covered lady,
very tall,
very skeletally thin and tall, and then, like, sort of black, kind of almost death-style robes with this, like, death scythe. So
you could say that she's a Satanist.
Sure. One that wants to stab not even, like, the actual blade of a scythe, but, like, the pole of her scythe has, like, a spike at the bottom of it.
Oh, man, if that wasn't enough.
That in your guts.
Oh, okay, so it's not even the scythe, it's just the fucking pointy stick.
Yeah.
She wants to cove you, she wants to dolphin kill you. Jesus.
Yeah, she wants to put that through your groin.
Oh, to specifically your dick hole? Really? Does she actually say that?
I mean, that's, if you get caught by her, what happens?
You actually see it go into your penis hole.
I mean, into your crotch. Into that area and you see the character look forward and go, and then die.
I would be... I know I'm a pussy, but anyone would be saying more than, oh, that's slightly inconvenient.
Yes.
You know, oh no.
Oh, that's a mild inconvenience.
Oh no, my pee-pee. And then I guess I'm going to die now. So, unless you wanted to cover any more with Outlast, I think we
probably exhausted that. I mean,
perhaps.
I will just go on. I said that one's more psychological. So the main character that you play as, whose name I've forgotten, apologies...
character 2,
you see him reliving a lot of his sort of past life,
which I suppose is something you don't really get with the first one. You don't, as far as I'm aware, you don't have any backstory with the first character. He's just a witness to what's going on in the
house. And you see, like, something that he lived through in his history but that he kind of avoided and didn't pay as much attention to.
So was it something that he compartmentalized. Yeah, that. Thank you, man. Dyslexia.
It's all right.
No, it's just me being a retard. So there you go. Go for it.
And I don't know whether it's that. It's almost like he denied how something happened. So basically, he had this friend at school. And she died when he was at school.
But it's the lovely Bones all over again.
But the reasons for her death are not explained to you at all. And you start getting like bits of his memory and what he's seen and what he goes through. And it's quite clear that actually he's making new memories at various points, but he's making new memories of his past. It's very strange.
This is very Joker-esque, because that's kind of what the Joker did. Do you remember the Dark Knight's Joker?
Yeah.
So, for many people, the best Joker. But it's quite interesting, if you watch that film and he talks about how he got his scars, he recounts several different versions of that story to the people that he's either about to kill or he's trying to threaten. So it's quite interesting that he in himself, depending of course on the way that you interpreted that, he changed the meaning and changed what happened in his life. And it's almost like you don't even fucking know what happened, because maybe he doesn't even know.
I do enjoy the Dark Knight films, and what you're saying about that, there is that sort of sense of maybe this guy didn't know what was going on in his childhood, and he was such a young child. I mean, it must have been maybe 7 or 8, you sort of get the impression of.
And if I can open up my serial killer book just for a moment, I think if you are a kid and you go through a traumatic event, whether it's blunt force trauma or psychological trauma, it can definitely affect you for the rest of your life and the decisions and the outlooks that you have on life, 100%. So a good example of that would be Richie Ramirez, who is someone that we will fucking cover in the show eventually. So Richie Ramirez, as a kind of sum up, he had, I think it was a cousin who fought in the war at the time, Vietnam War, I think it was, and he'd raped and killed a lot of Vietnamese women. And from what Richie Ramirez witnessed, he believed, he almost associated sex with death. And that became his norm.
Oh, so he had sex and then killed someone.
It was more rape than...
Well, okay.
But and he did it in the eyes of Satan. But anyway, so... Yeah, so... That's where I'm getting with that. But it's quite an interesting segue, if you're happy to, when you're talking about young people being affected as well, because of course that would take us to Among the Sleep.
Yes. Yeah. Briefly mentioned this earlier with picture collecting.
Yes. So Among the Sleep is a game that I bought you for Christmas. I think it was Christmas or your birthday.
You did.
And we did a playthrough. Thank you again for allowing me to be part of that. It was very kind of you.
You're very welcome.
And we got through it in like two and a half hours.
It's a very short game, yeah.
Very short game, but
quite impactful.
Really good. And what I will always say, and I'll never once cover it up because I'm very impressed that you did, you worked out what was going on so early on.
I had cracked that within like the first 15, 20
yeah,
minutes.
Yeah, so to sum up, and I think it's a game that's been out for a while and it's nowhere near as well known as Outlast or anything like that, so I don't... Spoiler alert if you care. But Among the Sleep, you play as a young child.
Yeah, I mean, as things are in a horror game, there's certain things on the list that you don't want to be when you're playing a horror game, and pretty much at the bottom of that list is a toddler, which is what you are,
because you isn't there a functionality where you can kind of sort of run but you'll fall over.
Yeah, you can do a sort of, let's call it a fast walk, because it's
a wobble.
It's a fast toddling at best.
Yeah. You're not going to be winning any medals with that.
You do that for more than about 15 seconds, and
you're over.
You just fall to a crawl. You can then immediately get back up and carry
it
on.
Again, but it will
but
stop
it's
you.
The fact that you stop, you fall into a crawl, and you are not fast enough to get away from the things that are chasing you when you're crawling.
And I don't know whether it's worth mentioning, because I don't know what kind of images you guys have in your head of what we're talking about at the moment, but it's worth mentioning that it's 100% a first-person game. It's not a third-person over the shoulder. You are absolutely looking from the perspective of this young child.
And you have a, like... proper looking up from the ground, everything looks huge.
Yeah,
you can't read anything, everything's in like these sort of strange symbols, because you think if you're a 2-year-old you couldn't read anything.
Yeah,
so that all makes sense.
It's very well thought out, 100% very well designed, not just from the aspects of trying to make it more real in the perspective of a toddler, but also putting on my animation 3D modeling hat, it's very well made, technically as well. So what I mentioned about you figuring out what's going on, you come across, you get given a friend, and by the way, he's the most creepy fucking friend I've ever encountered in a video game. It's like a cross between Gollum and Chucky. It's horrible. It's like this demonic teddy that has the world's most soothing, hateful voice. And a bit of Ted,
yeah.
Yeah, but I'm guessing we're just going to go with a naughty teddy thing with that. And so, Teddy, if you like, he is your guide for the most part. And, you know, I can't remember exactly, but I think he's the one that suggests that something might be wrong or to start
off. He's the one that suggests that, oh, we should go and find your mother because something's happened and you go to sleep one night.
You wake up and your room's hell.
You go to sleep with your bear. You're asleep and in a bit of a sort of a half awake daze, you just see the bear, like, just pulled away from you by some unseen force. That's that. And then suddenly the door opens again and your cot goes absolutely flying and the room is put into a
cock.
No, your cot. It just flips over with you in it and you like roll out of the cot basically. Yeah. And your room's just a mess.
Mm.
And that's that. And you can hear this kind of groaning noise in the groaning and droning noise, in the background.
Yeah.
And what it turns out to be is a washing machine.
With Teddy inside.
Teddy's been stolen.
Yes. So
someone stole Teddy.
So Teddy takes you on these numerous adventures where you have to go through the looking glass and you encounter this scary fucking demon thing that is nothing more than a black shadow with white fucking eyes.
The first time that you encountered
Wasn't it where you
thing?
Turned around and it was like right behind you and you were like, fuck, and you just like hauled ass.
So or that, is it a scary when you're out in the forest and it's chasing you.
Yeah.
And as long as you don't turn around, the music doesn't change.
No.
But you get this sort of hint in the music
that is
something not quite right.
Wasn't there a point where you got to like the mirror and you climbed up and you were like, oh, look behind me. And I don't think there was even any music. And you look behind you, it was right there. And you were just like, shit! Throw yourself through the fucking mirror. And yeah. But it's definitely one of the more...
Yeah, it's an intense game.
But yeah.
Right at the start, you're faced with this thing that you're unaware of that's even there... The atmosphere of the game is incredible. It builds you up for so long and lulls you into a bit of a full sense of security with it.
Oh, yeah.
Because it builds up so much atmosphere and almost nothing really happens for a while at first.
Yeah, because you don't really accomplish much.
Yeah.
Like, the whole game is like, oh, you got to find all the jiggy pieces. And I don't know why I'm quoting Banjo and Kazooie, but get all the jiggy pieces so you can get into the house to open the tunnel. And I think... If I remember correctly, you don't even get to properly do that because the main thing's going on that's been overshadowed by what you're currently doing.
Yeah.
And that thing, and I am going to spoil it for people, is something that's going on with your mum.
Yeah.
So when we
at no point can you find your mum anywhere.
No. Well, is that necessarily true? Because once something we learn, perhaps you do, or she finds you. So... while you're looking around at like the swampland, you come across some houses, and in the houses you find a lot of empty bottles. And immediately you clocked on. As soon as you saw the bottles, you were like, "Someone's got a drinking problem. There is an alcoholic problem here somewhere." As the mother was the only person that we'd seen other than Teddy,
I called it as being the mum.
Called it as being the mum, and I don't. Although with that said, I don't think you even anticipated just how dark it was gonna get.
Yeah, oh my god. I mean, how much of I don't know how much I've gone through with you with the game, but like if you pay really close attention, there's like various pictures and stuff.
We did a little bit of that, but I think we were just trying to get through the game. So I think we did a secondary kind of sort of playthrough where we looked at it a bit more.
Yeah, but... so right at the start, you can start finding drawings.
Yeah.
And the drawings are of various things. And they slowly get more and more horrifying as essentially it's just a toddler drawing a black mass of this shadow that is chasing him. And that's what he can see. And you can see he's drawing like various things. Mm. It's a bit like... what's that film?
Well, I know a good example of it would be the second season of Stranger Things. So I think it is the second season. When, I can't even remember the name, sorry Stranger Things fans, but the kid that gets returned from the Upside Down and everyone thinks he's fine, he starts to draw these weird visions that he's having. And he does it in like a weird kind of fit movement, like he's drawing abnormally fast. Same kind of thing where I think, I don't want kids, but I think one thing that would draw me towards having kids, or one thing that I would be excited about if I did...
Seeing things through their eyes?
Yeah, 100%. If I sat... I would love to just... I'm not going to say I'm going to deliberately traumatise a kid, but I'm going to be like, I'd love to just sit a kid down, just... like, because I'm an arty guy anyway, I just give him crayons and be like, draw.
Yeah.
Draw how you're feeling. Draw what you see.
Yeah.
Go for it. And I'd love to see the kind of shit they come out with.
Yeah.
100%. But yeah, obviously definitely. It's a bit more vivid with Among the Sleep and Stranger Things because they've gone through traumatic events. I'd like to think I wouldn't put my kids through that. But
So alongside the drawings that the toddler draws, you also see pictures that are around the house.
Yeah.
And you have to pay quite close attention to be able to spot some of these. And some of them you have to, like, rather than using a chair to climb up to open a door, you have to put a chair next to a table so you can climb up on the table and get a proper look at the picture.
Yeah.
But as soon as you walk into the corridor... out of the sort of nursery area in which you start the game in,
yeah,
there is a picture of mum, dad, and a child.
Mm.
Now, I don't think that child is you.
No, it's a girl, isn't it?
Yes.
So, because you find out, didn't like the girl fall down the well or something?
So, I don't really know what.
I'm going to say she fell down the well.
Entirely plausible. She definitely died.
Yeah,
or because there is another photo in which. You have the mum, and she's out with the girl, and it's just those two out.
Mm.
Dad must have been at home, and they were out, and then the girl, like, I don't know when she falls in the river, or she just goes.
Just not in the pictures anymore.
And the mum then just, like, falls to her knees and is, like, sobbing, and then this black figure that you've been seeing everywhere. Very briefly, if you move through the pictures, it's like one of these pictures that, like, changes as you get closer.
Oh, yeah, so like one of those bookmarks. I've got one of them where you kind of tilt it and it changes.
And it becomes more horrifyingly apparent what's happening as you get closer.
Mm.
If you stop in just the right place, the mother's head turns into the same head of the thing that's chasing you.
Okay, but it's also, and this is something that I'm working off my own theory, is there also still a black mask next to her, as well as her face changing?
Oh, I don't know.
See, here's what I'm thinking. So, little girl falls down the well, mother's distraught, obviously, family split in two by her grief.
Mm-hmm.
Family split due to the mother's grief and her inability to hold it, but the boy, your character, is still not in any of those photos, as far as I can remember.
Yeah, yeah.
Mother gets a new partner. Has this kid, you, with this partner.
Right.
Which is the black mass. The black mass is an abusive partner, which leaves her with a child that's the legacy of a failed partnership that was the result of a child dying and the split of the otherwise happy partnership.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
Because there is a secondary black figure.
There is.
In a trench coat.
Yeah, so here's what I'm thinking.
A very masculine figure.
Mm.
And yeah, that could entirely tie in, couldn't it?
Yeah.
I like that.
Because I did wonder what the other black mass was, because it didn't really...
Without, must confess, like, I was wondering, yeah.
Yeah, so that's my thought.
No, I like that, yeah.
So, towards the end, I'm going to go straight to the really vivid moment, is because you find out that the black mass that's chasing you, like you say, most of the time is your mum.
Yep.
And the black mass in the trench coat, I'm going to say, is the abusive partner, otherwise unnamed.
And it's when you get right to the end of the game, when you can hear the doorbell ringing, and you... walk around the corner and you find your mum on the floor.
Okay, but before we get there, there's something that happens.
Okay, yep, sorry.
No, that's all right. So you get, like, I think, I don't know if it's a trench coat one or the she devil thing, but you get thrown.
Trench coat one.
You get thrown down a hole and then you're in a black room and it starts.
And all you've got left
to
is
snow!
You're holding Teddy and all you've got is Teddy's arm. They pull on Teddy,
and Teddy
you're
tears.
Not strong enough. Oh, and you just have Teddy's arm.
And then you're in that black kind of... I think it's... I don't know if it's where the credits roll. I think it might be. but you're in kind of like this black open space where you have to go towards the crying noise.
Yeah.
And it's the like shredded versions of Teddy falling all around you as snow, I guess, which is so atmospheric.
It is. And then you slowly build up this image of your mum. Obviously, conversations that you have, as this toddler have heard, and you're piecing it together now as a player and realising that the mum is an alcoholic. She's taking this frustration out on a lost child and an abusive relationship, as you
as we've theorised,
on this toddler. That's sort of the only person she's got left to take it out on. And at points she states that she hates you, she doesn't want anything to do with you.
Because you are the legacy of that terrible relationship.
At those points you get the same music as when you're being chased by this black figure. And whenever she like sort of swipes at you, the hand turns into this sort of like clawed shadow striking mass. And then she went, oh no, but I love you, and then she'll come back into this sort of more motherly figure. But it's very strange
because they're going back to where you were hinting at the moment where you go around the corner and you find your mother. But back in the normal realm, she's lying on the floor, she's surrounded by wine bottles or whatever. And doesn't she push you away in that moment?
Yeah.
But she says, "I'm really sorry, I didn't mean to hurt you."
She's crying and then sees you coming. Oh, baby. And then, like, just pushes you away or goes to, swipes at you. You move back. I don't think you have that control. Just the toddler does it automatically. Which is a weird reaction for a toddler to move away from their parent, if you think about that at all.
I mean, that is so...
That speaks volumes by itself.
For the emotional and, no doubt, physical abuse that kid received.
You get the same, like, again, flashing music is exactly as the cloak figure that's been chasing you. There is no doubt left in your mind that your mum has been that figure the whole time. And therefore, it was your mum that flipped the cot at the start. And, so on and so forth. But she then apologises and said that she doesn't mean to, that she didn't mean to. The doorbell's still ringing. You climb up on the chair. You sort of push at the door. The door opens. And it's a masculine figure that comes for you.
But the,
now, who that man is...
It's unspecified, isn't it?
Whether it's the new partner or the old
partner.
I think it's the old partner.
I think it's the old partner. I don't think it's the new partner. I could even say that it's like a social worker or something like that.
Yeah, possibly.
Because all it is redemption.
Yeah.
Or redemption for the mother, but freedom and a better life for you.
Yeah.
That's all you know. Whatever they are.
There is a 20-minute addition to that game.
Is there?
About something in the father's house. Now, I've not played that, and I don't know enough about it to say much, but I think things start to not go well there as well.
So when you say the father's house, the original father?
It's at whatever that figure's house is.
Oh, okay, so what, the figure that comes to find you?
Yeah.
Oh, shit, no. Aww.
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah, no, I've not played it. I've just seen brief video footage of that. I'm not quite sure what that was.
So I feel like I'm so overjoyed about how in depth we've got with this
video games, man.
But I feel like we may need to bring it to a close. But there are two more games that I want to mention that aren't necessarily along the horror genre, but more thriller, but do incorporate a lot of horror elements. So the first one would be What Remains of Edith Finch.
What game?
So. General premise, you have inherited a house as part of a long family lineage, and you learn through investigating through different rooms in the house what happened to each member of the family. And more often than not, it was death. Yeah. Terrible, awful death.
I mean, in every case, it was death.
Yeah. Wasn't there just one where someone left? Or was it all death? Oh, it was all death. Okay. There are horror elements in there, like there's beheading, or self-suicide, essentially, because of a mundane existence. There's others like the monster under the bed they really kind of play with. I love that. Although I think I broke the game a bit with the whole Cthulhu.
We both know I am going to be delicious.
Yeah, the narration's in that, like, I ate the toothpaste and it was okay, but then I ate...
And I had a poisonous berry.
Yeah, that was less
than
okay.
Then I ate a cat.
And then I became a shark. So,
that tumbles down a hill.
Yeah, that
controlling a shark tumbling down a hill is hilarious.
Yeah, it's good. So there's that game, and I will definitely recommend checking it out because it's a fantastic story piece. It is only really a one-time playthrough. In fact, actually, I got three games to shout out. So that's the first one. Second one,
very cinematic.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even if you look around, you get to like learn. Oh, it's a game. It's a game the same with Among the Sleep. So when you're looking around, you see stuff that hints. So like even when you're on the boat at the very beginning, you see the Chinese takeouts that I think are then referenced later on in the thing, and there are posters and things. If you look around and you learn your surroundings, you'll be like, holy shit, that was kind of foreshadowed from the very beginning. Second game, and this is, yes, towards more horror, and I think you really kind of hated moments of this, is Limbo.
Yeah.
And Giant Spider.
Oh, man. Yeah, I do not like spiders.
So, general premise of Limbo is that it's a 2D scrolling platforming game where you...
There is a new game coming out this year, which is similar to Limbo.
Oh, wait, no, isn't that that lovely one that's, like, fairy and shit?
No, there's another game coming out that is on... Similar premise. I'm not sure when. I need to check, but it's definitely this year.
So general premise is that you play as a young boy and you have to go through all these series of puzzles in order to find the answer as to where you, how you ended up in the location that you were at the very beginning, which was under a tree. Fortunately, spoiler alert, we played, 3 hours solid of fucking Limbo, and we then found out that the game is just a fucking loop.
Yeah, screw that. That was...
Although we should have known from the beginning that the game was going to be a loop because of the title of the game. And last of all, and it's a game that I think you've seen a bit of a playthrough, but you haven't yet played, and I've played a fair amount of it and seen playthroughs all the way up until the current second game, I want to say. Yeah, second game, is Life is Strange.
Sorry, that game that I was talking about has actually already come out.
Okay.
I am a bit behind on my gaming knowledge. I apologise. August 2019. That's been out for quite a while. Blimey. A game called Stella.
Okay. So from what I'm seeing of the... It looks like a more kind of...
it's very similar kind of...
Yeah, but it looks more 3D.
Yeah.
Even if it is just a scrolling game, it does look... It just looks like a more updated Limbo.
Yeah.
It's cool though. Okay, and the last game, like I say, is Life is Strange. Now, how much do you know of Life is Strange?
Not loads. I've played a little bit with you.
You've seen Johnny play it, haven't you? From
I've not watched loads of those. I am a huge fan of Dicebreaker, Eurogamer.
Did you know that Johnny was more or less tributized in that game?
Really?
Yeah, he has a character.
Oh wow!
Yeah, second game.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, blimey.
So general premise is that in the first game you... So actually, no, there are four games. Fuck! So you've got Before the Storm. We're going in timeline order. You've got Before the Storm. You've got Life is Strange 1. You've got Captain Spirit, or The Adventures of Captain Spirit. And then you've got Life is Strange 2. Before the Storm, you play as Rachel. Oh, Ingrown Crush. I love Rachel so much. Wait, no, it's not Rachel, is it? Wait, Rachel's the one you fall in love with. Chloe, sorry. Love Chloe. Rachel's the girl that you fall in love with. I think Life is Strange, although it has a bit of a supernatural aspect to it in the first game, second, and Captain Spirit a bit, it really brings to light those teenage issues that I think everyone went through. The problems with finding identity, the problems with parents in terms of finding identity, the false lies that some people... False lies, that's a split infinitive. But the false promises and lies that children are told by parents in order to cover up past mistakes. The decisions that kids have to make, the repercussions that they have to make in an adult's world, especially if you're living in a place where you're mainly on your own because of a rebellious attitude. Yes, of course, I'm talking about Chloe. It's very much a story played game, except you do occasionally get to do things. So like, oh man, I didn't even mention this game. Fuck! So very much like... Until Dawn.
Oh, what a game.
Oh. So, a game. Until Dawn, again, a very much story-driven piece. However, there are moments where you have to mash a button.
Make a quick decision that make, will have real world consequences.
Oh yes, so very much. There, I mean, the premise that that game runs off and the engine that it runs off is the butterfly effect, where each of your actions will have an equal and opposite reaction, which will ultimately affect the characters.
Well, it's almost more than that, isn't it? It's like a ripple effect. Isn't
yeah, it? An equal and opposite reaction, and then ripple off into effects that will spin out of your control. Sometimes. And yeah, it's a very, very
don't kick the wolf.
Don't kick the wolf. Don't piss off the deer. Don't move when the creatures are nearby you. I'm not going to spoil what they are because it is still a fairly new game.
It's a bit windy in here, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh man, all the particles. So dusty in here. yeah. Ah, oh, that game. What a game. So. I don't know if you've got any other games you want to mention. We've got about 7 minutes left of this podcast because we've overrun by half an hour again.
Oh, no.
But it's fine.
Any more games that I would like to mention?
You mentioned Resident Evil.
Resident Evil, yeah.
And Resident Evil 7,
particularly.
But again, those are zombie games.
Oh.
But still horror.
So Resident Evil 7 is less zombie game.
Mm-hmm.
And more, you are taken into this... I don't know enough about the game to know how it starts, but you're taken into this baker household and essentially have to fight your way out of it.
Okay.
Every single one of the people in this household is a serial killer.
Oh.
They want to kill you.
Oh.
They're feeding you like fecal matter and all kinds of stuff that you don't want to
be
eating. Dookie.
Chocolate pie.
There's like clues around the house for you to try and get out. There's various points where like you just find mannequins around the house and you walk away, turn around, and the mannequins have moved.
Weeping Angel style.
It is. Ooh. And then at one point behind one of the mannequins is just a note that if you read before you turn away and go that way, it says one thing. You come back again, and it's crossed through and in big red writing, rather than saying, like, wasn't here, it now says, was here.
Oh, shit.
And then you get up and turn around, and the mannequins have moved again, and there is one, like, pretty much in your face as you turn around.
Oh, fuck.
But it's just a mannequin. It's just like, Jesus, stop it. And you can play this game in VR.
Oh, that's something that I didn't even mention, the VR game. So I haven't played much VR because we've been to a VR bar in, I wanted to say Camden, it's not Camden.
Good old Croydon.
Good old Croydon. And I've been to my friend's house and played VR at his. And I did actually play a zombie game in VR.
Oh man, you poor man.
But it wasn't cliche zombie, they were more like alien zombies. So they were just kind of like white. They were still quite scary and they would still run at you, but they weren't blood covered. And they all looked the same. So, yeah, that was quite an interesting one to play. And especially because with VR, it's still in its infancy, at least with most games, where instead of having the ability to walk like on a treadmill and move, you still then have to do like the, I'm going to look over there and do the arrow jump to that location. And keep it kind of breaks the immersion a bit, I feel like, unfortunately. Because there was a game that I think we played at the VR bar on occasion where you're on a car. And that's a lot better because the car's obviously moving, so you don't have to move. And then you can turn and fire, which I think it was a robot shooting game. Beat Saber's always fun. But
super hot as well. One of my favourite VR games. That's good.
But yeah, so the VR, I think VR still has a lot of... Although saying that, apparently one of the most disgusting horror games has been produced on VR that has like walls made out of baby fetuses and... Yeah,
wow.
Like there's even like a character that like stacks baby fetuses up like bricks onto a to make up a wall. So it's pretty, it's out there.
Probably that's not Resident Evil 7. I just don't know enough about it.
No, I don't think it is. I think it's something else. I think it's detached. It's its own thing.
Wow.
But yeah, so thank it's you.
Messed up.
Thank you very much, Dr. Manor, for joining us for this 25th. Yeah,
kind of tailed off a bit there at the end, not losing some knowledge on my games.
That's all right. That's so. Okay. I mean, we managed to somehow go two episodes worth of content. Hey. So, yeah.
Get me on for games and I'll talk for ages.
So, whether it is day or night, evening, whatever the fuck you are doing, we hope you have a very good life and death. And we will see you guys for hopefully a better show.
Yeah, you will.